Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Join us on the Chinwag Podcast every Wednesday, where we trade the banal and the boring for the super strange and bizarre.
They committed human sacrifice?
I did bring up human sacrifice, yes.
You sure did.
That just went by fast.
Gotta casually toss that out.
I would like to have an alien hatch its young inside.
Holy shit, really?
She saw world peace, and I saw demons coming out of the wall.
I will say that there was a green couch outside of the principal's office, and you sat on it if you had lice or if you got in trouble.
They wake you up from the goo pods to live in reality, and you're naked and screaming. It's like...
Follow us for free on Apple Podcasts and all major podcast platforms.
For more information, go to chinwagpod.fm.
And find enlightenment through our Instagram or TikTok at ChinwagPod or on Twitter at Chinwag_pod.
r/ is a hilarious podcast where Dabney Bailey uses ridiculous voices and emotions to read aloud the week's craziest Reddit posts.
He reenacts various Reddit threads covering wild stories and secrets, petty revenge, relationships, and much more.
So if you're looking for a daily distraction and a laugh, check out r/ wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
So this is going to be the podcast that could go in the most directions, I think, out of all the CT5s we've done, because we intentionally have not clarified this.
Yeah. This is the one. This is like MVP voting in the NBA, right? You say, what's most valuable? And the NBA says, whatever most valuable means to you. So this is the same vein, right? All the makings. What does all the makings mean? Like, whatever all the makings means to you.
I do fear what I told me. Like, I don't love my OLIs and I don't have a deep list.
You don't have a deep list? Really?
I do love my top five. I do love my top five. Like, my top five, it has all the makings of a great list.
I'll be honest with you. Almost every movie that we've done is that's all the makings. Did I do this wrong?
There's no wrong. That's exactly the point. Also, this came from something you said. So I feel like you have the most leeway to dictate the terms. And really, it's me and Zach who are misinterpreting your language that could lead to doing it wrong.
I may change a lot on the fly as we go through this list. As we start doing, I may change a lot. I may start writing things down. I don't totally know. Oh, wait, I didn't put that on the list? Oh, no, I gotta
I'll be perfectly honest. I'm still typing fucking movie names.
No, movie names?
Yeah. Aren't we picking movies that had all the makings of a cinephobe movie, or what are we doing?
Unbelievable.
No, it was never defined. What do you mean unbelievable?
Just do whatever your list is. Just do it.
So that, these are two different episodes within one episode.
We already did. Last CT5 was already whatever Amin liked.
He just did Golden Dumpsters.
What did you guys do? What did you guys do?
What are the components that have all the that make up all the makings of a great cinephobe movie? Like,
the
what
texture,
would make a great
the
cinephobe
flavor,
movie?
The color, that's the consistency.
What's wrong with you?
You just said you're writing down names of movies. There's not a fucking name of a movie in my goddamn list. You're saying what are all the movies that have all the
literal
makings?
Fuck. I didn't mean literally the name of a movie. I'm saying I'm listing the names of the movies that have all the makings.
I'm going off what you just said.
God damn it, but like, use a brain.
Do we have
brain.
A better help? Do we have a better
use
help sponsorship?
Some of your brain. Burn that one calorie. I swear to God, it won't hurt. I swear to God, it won't put you in the rigor mortis. Yeah, swear to fucking God.
I swear to God, if you learn how to fucking communicate in the slightest.
Like, what happened?
If you had an ounce of accountability in you for what you said.
My brain actually can do some work without me falling into a coma.
All right,
for
everyone.
Jesus sure. I mean, one
times you guys.
No, I know. No. This is on us. One, totally reasonable for you to fly off the handle at almost nothing.
Absolutely.
Two, yes, absolutely. No, you don't need better help at all. At all.
No, I don't. I need worse help.
I literally said there's no wrong answer.
No, better help is therapy.
You can do whatever you want.
You know, like, you definitely don't need therapy if that set you off just even a little.
I need the best help. I don't need better help. This is better help right here.
You need help that doesn't exist, that isn't possible.
Yeah, that's right.
For fixing humans.
Two. He needs Pluto TV better help.
You just said, I'm writing down movies that have all the makings. I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with the episode we're doing?
Are you serious?
Maze is with me on this, so I feel like
you both serious right now?
I mean, the way that you framed it was that your list is going to be movie, like number
movies with all
five
the makings.
Is a movie.
Yeah.
OLI
That's
is
literally
a movie.
What, like, listen to the episode in 6 months or whenever the fuck this comes out. And you will understand the confusion. Actually, right, you won't, because you have no sense of accountability. And you'll never take responsibility for anything. You'll just find a way to pivot, like Roadhouse.
Give me one that's on the cutting room floor for you. Give me an entry on the cutting room floor.
You'll find out in my OO.
No. Do it right now.
I choose not to.
Right now. Give it to me.
This was the point. The point was to do a bunch of different lists.
You've been so reasonable in this conversation that I feel the need to not do it.
I must know how off I am by naming
movies. You'll find out in about 35 minutes.
Are you going to name
find
the
out
name
about
of
35
pigeons?
Minutes?
What are you going to name?
Why
family
is this
members?
Shirt?
What are you going to name?
Why is this shirt name? A paternity test?
Yeah, what are you going to name? Come on, Maury, what you going to name? Give me one. I'm not asking for your list.
I'll give you seven in order, and then I'll give you the ones that didn't make it after
I just
that.
Need one that's not in your list right now. Anyone.
No, I'm good.
Any one entry. Oh,
do your little intro. Do your little intro.
I guess we're all good then.
Yeah. Your little intro. Hey guys, we're sucking our own dicks today. CT5. That's what we do.
No, today Zach is sucking my dick. God stay tuned for the YouTube
Bob
audience.
Dude,
it gets real
it.
Graphic.
God, can't Bob find it. Dicks, damn.
Go ahead, Zach. Lead us off. That's the intro.
No, I'm good.
No, give me your magical OLI that's gonna blow my mind. Like, oh, I've been doing a roll with the whole time. Go ahead.
Yeah, you phrase it that way, considering I literally told you, oh, I don't feel confident in my OLIs. And you're like, oh, the OLIs are going to blow me away.
No,
you need to learn how to fucking listen.
I asked you to give me something that wasn't on your list.
I'm sorry you dressed up as Billy Baby.
I asked you to give me something that wasn't on your list. You refused. You refused to give me something that wasn't on your list. I wanted to make this nice and easy. You don't want to make it easy. So let's make it hard. All the makings of a difficult CT5. How about that?
Oh, that? Okay.
Yes.
1 through 5? I mean.
Congrats. All the makings. Yeah. There you go.
Yes. All the makings of a difficult episode. All eyes? Maze has the same list. Now what's your list?
Eyes? I mean, what are the all still eyes? A bag of tools. It's still
amazing.
You being late. Stomach you vinegar. Being late. How about okay. that?
I'm late? 5:15.
That is all the makings of a bad episode. You being late.
I'm late?
That's
what
lie.
I was. I was late?
You were earlier, I was late actually. When I actually, showed up right on time? You were earlier. For the earlier episode, you were. Yeah.
That's not... We're talking about this episode.
No. You said all the makings for a difficult episode.
This one was the last one was a difficult one, but this one's an easy one then. Because I wasn't late for this one, so this one must be an easy episode.
All the makings of a bad episode, Amin being unnecessarily difficult and...
All the makings of a bad episode, Zach being super reactionary and fucking like literal about a third of a word that Amin said. How about that?
I don't even think either of us critiqued what you were doing. We were just trying to figure out what it was.
And yeah, you based on the thing that you said, and you what I flew said off was the pretty fucking handle.
It's not contradicted at all with what you ask, did, is my point.
Okay, let me ask this question. This is a real question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you said?
I know exactly what I said. I said, I'm still writing down names of movies for this mm-hmm. list.
Yes.
Now, I know how a bingo could interpret that
that's
as...
Not, but wait. I mean, that's not all you said, though. You said something after that. What did you
what
say?
What did I say?
Enlighten you tell me what you said. You know exactly what you said?
I did. I just told you what I said.
Maze, clip it.
Say it. Because I'm gonna wait till summertime to figure this one out.
Yeah, I'm going to have you wait until you listen to the episode.
Whatever.
This idea is just straight up bad. That algorithm is busted. It's among the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Top 5, easy.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Kind of broke the ceiling, y'all. So all I got is fire.
Welcome to CT5.
Fuck it. Start the list. You're number one. Go
podcast
ahead.
Podcast where
well, no, I'm going to do my OLI. Explodes. I'm not going to do my number one first.
No. Do whatever the fuck that makes you happy.
Continue to talk over me.
Do whatever makes you happy.
Get this
go ahead.
Started. This came from Movies We Wish Qualified. Amin would start off a couple of his picks by saying, it has all the makings of a cinephobe classic or some variation of that sentence. Mm-hmm. And so an incredibly... quick order, we flip that around and we turn that into its own CT5 because that's just how this shit works over here. And then, as you've clearly heard, no one knows what the fuck that means.
So, and here we one are. Of us is very reasonably angry about it. Very reasonably
I'm
angry.
Reasonably angry because you leapt to a weird ass fucking conclusion that I'm not even entirely certain why you would leap to that conclusion instead of just
which
saying,
is weird because you know exactly what you said.
So I know exactly what I said. I said what I said. I said,
well, you said part of what
I'm
you
still,
said.
I'm still, but you need to tell me. Otherwise, shut the fuck up about it. One or two.
No,
shut the fuck about it. Then shut the fuck up about it. Then shut the fuck up about it.
I don't think I will. I don't think I will.
Well, I think you should shut the fuck up about it.
Well, then I guess
we're going to be caught in this infinite loop. Aren't we?
Yeah, because you need unreasonable help.
Yes.
Never back
therapy.
That's.
That's our new sponsor. Promo code, what the fuck, Amin?
Okay, so this is going to be a journey. All I know for sure is that whatever is on your guys' list, it will have the texture, the flavor, the color, the consistency that definitely makes it a cinephobe movie.
Oh, that's actually another... I'm going to put that as OLI. Not what you just said, but...
No, I guess we'll wait months to hear that one, huh?
No, probably about 35 minutes.
Okay. Oh, we're going to wait 35 minutes to hear that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not going to make my list, but I do want it on the list.
Okay, congratulations.
Okay, OLI, number one. Forced tension that they wish was there, but unreasonably is not because they don't know how to develop any kind of interaction between two lovers.
So is that...
Hi, Sweet Annie.
Hi, Sweet Annie, but it is... Like, it's the Who's That Man Award. It's all this kind of stuff, right? Like, some kind of relationship that just is not
two
there.
Actors that are supposed to have some kind of relationship.
We've probably had half the movies include something like that, right? at minimum half the movies where they're just like, here's the relationship you should believe in, whether it's father, son, mother, daughter, boyfriend, girlfriend, boyfriend, boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever. And it just, you're like, these people have never met before.
Two bitch husbands.
Two bitch husbands.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, that's good. I mean,
what movie did you pick?
You see how I didn't interrupt you when you were doing your dumbass shit? You see how that works?
You didn't start talking yet. You didn't start talking yet.
You see how that works? Where I waited, I allowed you to say your shit. I gave you the room.
There was a moment of silence even when you between paused, what Mace said.
Even when you hold on, you paused. You know you paused, right? You do realize you paused. There was silence. Nobody filled that silence because we knew Zach is about to start. So we said, mm-hmm. go ahead. Let him compose himself. Let him bring his thoughts together. We all did that. We respected mm-hmm. that space for you. See how
so
that works?
I don't edit these anymore.
See how that works? Yeah. I want everyone to hear this shit. I want everyone to hear what the fuck I have to deal with. Where I just literally sit down and fucking like for no reason. For no reason, because Zach woke up today in a fun mood. I'm funny, Zach. I'm in a fun mood. Let me fuck with Amin a little bit.
Maze, we've done two previous podcasts before this one in the last couple hours. I've been in a pretty good mood in all those, haven't I? Pretty happy-go-lucky.
Just funny Zach, you know, just hanging out mm-hmm. on podcasts.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
Amin?
What's your OLI, Amin?
OLI, all the makings, includes action, includes Liam Neeson, and includes a bingo. Any combination of those, it's called The Ice Road. That has all the makings of a great cinema movie. If you tell me this movie has action, has Liam Neeson, and has a bingo, I'm in. I don't need to hear anything else.
You know what's phenomenal? And I know this is going to cause a reaction in Maze. I'm sorry. It's exactly what we questioned. Before flying off the head, we're like, wait, hold on a second.
So again, let me go back to, hey, what did you guys do? I'm just saying, like, this is the stuff, right? What? Give me one of your entries so I can compare and contrast. Nope, you're going to have to hear it. Nope, you're going to have to just listen. Nope, 1 through 5 is mean. Nope. Blah, 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 blah. Like, we could do this like fucking gentlemen, or we could do it like assholes. You chose the asshole route. So guess what? A big asshole is here. You could drive a Mack truck through it.
Are you
okay? Would you say that memory qualifies for that? Is his brother
is a bingo of a certain kind.
Qualified. So
yeah, I mean, bingo is a loose term, bingo. So I think that
so
counts.
So far, it's bingo brother.
It doesn't need to be necessarily a relative.
Doesn't need to be a brother.
Taken two?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is there...
Well, the daughter does throw grenades at a car.
Does the panda count and take him?
No, the panda's not a bingo. Are you kidding me? Panda's a hero.
By the way, bingo is not like none. All of these are interchangeable, right? There's a list of things that has all the makings of a cinephobe movie. Now you can grab several ones from that list and create a cinephobe movie, but not necessarily all of them need to be present.
Right.
Okay. So my first OLI. All the makings include anything that Amin can turn into tension, horniness, or misogyny. That's literally anything in any movie we've ever done. He's an alchemist of misogyny.
That's even the movies that are over 40%. You know, every movie we can find it. WALL-E. I bet he could do it with WALL-E.
Oh, yeah.
What's WALL-E?
The robot Pixar movie.
Gotcha. WALL-E.
All those fatties in the chair, Zach? You kidding me? So much tension going on there. Eva? Oh, that bitch robot Eva?
OLI number two. One word. Terrorism. Terrorism. I mean, whether it is Knowing, Taken 2, Taken 3, any of these movies.
Knowing,
he Googles terror. Terrorism's a part of it.
The not movie even next, necessarily terrorism.
Okay. Terrorism is as foundational as almost anything that has come across cinephobe movies. Cats, terrorism of a pick.
Passenger 57.
Hot Rod, terrorism to comedy.
Uh-huh.
You know? All that stuff.
Oh, it's a comedy now.
It's so a terrorism to comedy.
It's a comedy.
Wait, it tried to be.
It wasn't comedy. It was terrorism to comedy. Like, just like
okay. Kevin James, like, terrorism to comedy.
Just like the 9/11 hijackers weren't buildings, they were terrorism right. to buildings.
Exactly.
Two buildings, literally. Two. One, two. My OLI number one, or number two, I never know how this works. You need definitely a death to a central character. You need montages. And you need a misspelled license plate. It's Rocky IV. All the makings of a cinephobe movie.
Or Cobra.
Well, I got a variation of that. I added my own spice to that all the makings, and it'll come back up later. My other OLI. All the makings means any movie that presents a racism problem for Zach to solve. That's right. Soul Man, White Man's Burden, The Toy, Amos and Andrew, Carbon Copy, just to name a few.
That is on my list. I'll let you know when.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play, even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you, and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account. This football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Number 5. An absurd accent that we think someone is intentionally doing, or maybe it's just their voice. We don't know.
Wow, she straddled both.
But an accent can take us a long fucking way through a movie, and it makes movies quite, I mean, you think about White Man's Burden, right? The reason, like, what, one, the premise, but two, the accent is why that movie falls apart for critics, right? It's, I mean, we just rewatched it.
Whoa,
it's what? It's racist
for as critics,
critics, audience, whatever, like whoever's critiquing it, it's racist as fuck. And the accent does not help sell the movie. It sells it to us, but not the movie.
Let me, may I ask, Zach? It seems sure. like your list is just ranking awards.
No. It's not.
What's the difference?
Well, you'll see
he
said
he didn't like his OLIs as much as he likes his list. So,
but that's now we're
into
his
list. We don't have a terrorism award.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But the okay, that's fair. All right. See how that works? Reasonable conversation, question, answer, clarification.
What the fuck you asking me? Why did you just wait for my list? Why did you wait for my list? Why are you asking me a question? This is so like, God, you're so fucking stupid. You just wait and use your ears for one goddamn minute. You can find out that what my list is and what it makes up, and it's not just awards. You see how
I asked a question as opposed to just random assumptions being made and attacks.
Ass on you, ass off me.
Sides.
This Whatever. Podcast just changed sides
just
real
change
quick.
Sides, yeah.
That was fantastic.
I'm glad you're not in control of all the clocks in Chicago. That's all I have to say. But that's not my number 5, no. My number 5 is, as we mentioned earlier, the presence of Bingo is a strong, a Bingo yes. presence.
Bingo.
Strong sign for a cinephobe movie. But when it can be multiple Bingos, dare I say it, almost the entire cast are Bingos. Now.
Combination.
You're onto something special. But you know what takes it over the top? Because it's not quite a cinephobe movie. It's just a bunch of Bingos running around.
You turn your hat backwards?
Nope. You need an annoying voice that Maze will do and repeat over and over in the movie. It's the Pie Pie Man. Perfect cinephobe movie. It doesn't even matter that we all phobed it. It's the perfect cinephobe movie.
I would argue most movies that we phobed unanimously end up being kind of perfect cinephobe movies, right?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
It just can't be boring. I mean, I tried to make sure. That like Venn diagram or the chart. It's like, as long as it's, if it's terrible, but it's entertaining, that's a good cinephobe movie. If it's driven, not necessarily the best cinephobe movie.
That wasn't a unanimous phobe, so it doesn't matter.
But it was boring.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I mean, not when Gina was on the
Okay. screen. All right. So now, my OLIs are like, that's one thing. All right. Now we're getting into a stew. We got a stew going here with these next couple picks because my number five, Zach kind of touched on it, but you got John Travolta, okay? And then you got a wig. You add a wig to that mix, and now we're cooking, okay?
Didn't make the cut, but yes.
But you know what puts it over the top?
What's that? Over the top?
An accent. And that's Battlefield Earth, Gotti, The Fanatic, Killing Season, Poison Rose, White Man's Burden, all of the above. His hair is different. His voice is different. You know what's not different? John Travolta bringing the heat.
Johnny T, man. How many times has he been on? 10?
Yeah.
10-time club?
Yeah.
He's a 10-timer.
What's the one we just had? The clip. It was like, who damn?
All them years down at the factory, and I'm still a delivery boy.
Just the fucking reddest hair that's ever existed.
He got fired, if I'm not mistaken, for being a peeping Tom, right?
An accidental peeping Tom, yeah.
He stumbles into the backyard and catches a glimpse of Thaddeus's wife's beautiful titties. But I like to imagine, like, you know those coloring books or those picture books that had like three strips of different characters and you flip through and you make like a chicken head with a head a dinosaur head with a chicken body and like dolphin tail. That's what I want for John Travolta with all of his characters, just to mix match his wig, his
wig would you go with, what accent would you go with, and what
give me Turl with Lewis Pinnock's accent. Turl from Battlefield Earth.
You want that head?
I think I want...
And Moose's body on a scooter.
Oh, Jesus.
I want Moose's hair.
Well, now I'm torn because I either want Gotti with Lewis Pinnock's voice or I want Gotti with Moose's voice.
No, I want Moose with Carson Phillips' voice.
Oh, man. I'm a Dumba. I'm a PI. all right. My number four.
Mm-hmm.
Maze mentioned it earlier. Racism needs to be solved, and I will solve it someday. Racism needing to be solved is a staple of cinephobe. And it's, I think, even before we recognized we were trying to eradicate racism through our picks and through ascertaining these movies, was still prevalent. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
Oh,
I'm just honestly trying to get rid of racism. I don't know about you guys trying to perpetuate it. I don't know if you are, but I know I'm not.
My number four is, let's see, this is what you need for a great cinephobe movie. You need some comedy. We like to laugh. Notice many of these movies that we have that are great cinephobe movies bring a little laughter. They bring the people together, right? We need also a nightlife establishment, a bar or something of that sort, right? Because we like to do our taffer stuff in there. Mm-hmm. It allows us to fit that in. Also, we like songs. We like things, not musicals, mind you, cats, right. Go fuck yourself.
But
we
a good do score, like, a good soundtrack.
Good score, good soundtrack exposition. And, of course, we like wolves, particularly wolves that are dragging the dead body of the mayor in the street. It's a million ways to die with the West, in the West. All the makings of a great cinephobe movie.
We like wolves.
You were talking about Rhinestone until the fucking wolves came
talking
back.
About, I thought he was talking about fuck Cocktail. I was trying to figure out how is he going to tie this one together. Yeah.
All those things, you know?
All the makings.
Okay. All right. My number four. This is a recipe that will work in just about any movie. I'm very interested in this formula in cinephobe movies, beyond cinephobe movies. It follows a pretty straightforward narrative structure that has usually the same beats, but you don't really care. Because if everybody's doing their job good enough, it works. You've got a rising star, okay? You've got someone who's on the come up.
Yeah, a Jim Carrey.
Burning real bright. Not the next Jim Carrey. The actual Jim Carrey.
Because
he's gonna succeed.
An actual star.
Someone he's going to become succeed. A star.
Got it.
And then what does that star need? Needs a mentor. Needs someone who's been there before. Needs someone to teach them the ways. You know, maybe pushing back their hair with their hand, like Sam Elliott and Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. And then you need a dame.
Just cut it out. That's all. That's no way to talk to a dame.
You need a broad who comes into the rising star's life and maybe she's there for him when he needs her, when he's having a struggle, a setback in his journey. And then you need a villain. You need a bad guy. You need somebody who's going to talk shit to your rising star, maybe
Burt Reynolds.
Maybe intimidate someone.
Burt Reynolds.
And so that applies to Roadhouse, Cocktail. And in Cocktail, is Coughlin the mentor and the villain?
And villain, yes. Yes, he is.
Which is an incredible achievement in its own. The Water Boy is like that. Time Cop, the mentor is a little weak, but Matusak is kind of the mentor.
He's
not a mentor.
He spent half the movie trying to figure out if we're best friends. Yeah, how have you never fucked my wife.
Yeah, when are you gonna finger blast my wife if we're best friends? Like this
Judge Dredd. You got Stallone as Dredd.
Yeah,
Max von Sydow is the mentor. You got Diane Lane. You got Armand Assafte. Harlem Nights. You got Eddie and Richard Pryor. You got a dame. Mm. You got Bugsy. Two for nipple the money.
You got a dame that goes straight for the nipple.
Yep. Insane. Absolutely. How are you guys still not over this? You guys just accepted that as like, that's fine.
I accepted that as that's what Eddie Murphy likes.
Wanted. Yeah. He wrote and directed it and starred in the scene.
Is that what I like? No. But king shaming. Let him do his thing.
Okay. I will.
Two for the money is another classic example of this. Although,
again,
the dame situation is that more also confusing.
The mentor and the villain are one and the same, right?
No, no. The villain is Armand Assafte again.
Is he? No, the villain is.
He comes in at the end.
The villain is Pacino.
He's threatening McConaughey. He's beating him up in the park. He's pissing on him.
Pacino is fucking up the world that he has brought him into. I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a malicious villain, but he's a villain. He's not.
I think he turns into a malicious villain at the end.
And there's more tension between between McConaughey and Rene Russo in that one than there is between whoever he ends up hooking up with. But yeah,
there's more tension between Pacino and McConaughey than anything. Yeah.
That's true. But yes, there's always that recipe. That's a recipe you'll see in a lot of movies that don't qualify. And I'm always here for it.
My number three, Amin has kind of mentioned this, but I'm going to simplify one of his picks. I think there's only one of these movies that I have phobed. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It just needs Liam fucking Neeson in the movie. It has all the makings of a great cinephobe.
Men in Black, that's the one that you phobed, right?
I think that's the only one that I phobed, but I mean, think about it. Memory, Blacklight. Oh, A Million Ways to Die in the West. But, I don't count that as a Liam Neeson
movie. That's not a Liam Neeson movie. We talked about this before.
Movies
with Liam Neeson versus a Liam Neeson movie.
Right,
exactly. I guess Men in Black is not a Liam Neeson movie either.
Like,
if it's a Liam Neeson is the star and it's following the Taken archetype.
Guys, let me tell you right now. I'm going to keep saying it. I can't pick it because I'm still canonizing, but Retribution. fucking you guys have to watch it. We don't even have to review it.
It's on my
list. Have to review it. Just please watch it. God,
I'm not watching it till you guys make me.
Why? Really? Oh no!
Trust me.
You'll enjoy it. You'll truly enjoy it. Just recreationally.
What is your deal with Liam Neeson? Why do you not embrace him? Why? He's a genius.
It's good in the Taken franchise, and then it is extremely played out. We'll find out. Or we found out on the commuter. Maybe the commuter is still close enough to the source. We'll see.
Is this coming up?
We've done it, but we haven't. I don't feel confident
in that timeline, man.
So
I'm just saying, I'm so good.
I'm 2 for 10 on Liam Neeson movies. Zach's 8 for 10.
Two for ten?
Wait, which ones did you like?
Four to two.
Taken two and three.
That's it?
Yeah.
Blacklight. Wait, Memory.
You didn't like Memory? The Bucks getting lost.
I don't remember.
Rewatchington?
Just don't watch that. Rewatchington,
but we watch it two times in a row.
Flip a coin for it.
I mean, you're number three.
Very close to your list, Zach. But instead of Liam Neeson, or your selection, but instead of Liam Neeson, replace that name with Paul Bettany.
He's done two movies.
All the makings.
One of them was a 3-hour Da Vinci Code.
All of them. All the makings. Which I think you hated. Yes, I did hate Da Vinci Code. But that doesn't mean it didn't have all the makings of a Cinephile movie.
To be fair.
This isn't about movies I like. This is about all the classic makings. Legion was the one I had on my list here. Yeah. But.
And it is all that when we get horny by a character, that's kind of like, it's not on my list, but like Pam Anderson, right? For me.
Yeah.
Paul Bettany for Amin.
All the makings. Yeah. All the makings.
I'm with it. Yeah.
All right. My number three. It kind of came up, but you left out some important ingredients. You left out the meat and potatoes, if you will. So you got Sly Stallone. Okay. That's great. You got a license plate. You need one. You need it misspelled.
Yes. Misspelled. Yes.
It's important. You need a montage. Of course.
Of course, it's a Sly Stallone movie. What's a Sly Stallone movie without a
montage? Does he have one without a montage?
It's not all the makings if you don't have a robot in the fucking movie with Stallone and his weird 80s fascination with robots.
Right.
How many movies did he have a robot in?
There's a robot in Rocky IV. There's robots in Cobra. I'm counting.
Oh,
there's a robot in Judge Dredd.
Where's the robot pimp?
Robot pimp is Cobra.
Yeah. Cobra. Judge Dredd, the robot's the one that's serving spaghetti and beer, right?
Or also, the like soldier.
The Rock'em Sock'em robot. Yeah,
exactly.
The Terminator, guy.
Even though he hangs out with Armand Asafte. And then Rocky Rhinestone, they shout out.
Rocky robot. Four, remember?
Apollo fucks the robot. You're right. That's my bad. Not Apollo. Carl Weathers is so alarmed. This is best double take in cinema history.
God damn it, he's so asshole. Man.
Trails off in the middle of his fucking sentence,
and then picks him right back up. Oh yeah, that's a good call. Yeah,
never says a word about it though. It's just a look, a pause, and then back to what I was talking about. Yeah.
That's great. My number two involves an actor, but a specific time for this actor. I need this guy to be looking for work. I need this guy to be paying off tax debt. I need Nick Cage when he desperately needs a paycheck.
Oh, yeah.
That has all the makings of a cinephobe movie and a cinephobe classic, if I may.
I was trying to come up with what the right formatting is for Nick Cage.
There's probably at least 10 more of just that era of films that we could make great episodes out of. Like, we're going to do Drive Angry someday, and that's going to be
Wait, are we talking about Nick Cage in real life needing a check?
Needing a check, yes.
Not the movie. Because in his character in many of these movies also is looking for a check. National Treasure, Snake Eyes, like a lot of these movies.
Ghost Rider, right? Like, he needs to do this work for stuff before he becomes a Ghost Rider. But yeah, like, to me, it's the era in his real life where he needs some checks.
Got it.
I had it in my OOLIs as Nicolas Cage losing his shit.
Oh, God.
That's pretty what much I can come movie, up yeah. with. But I didn't have, like, because his roles do not have consistently the same elements.
No, because he's such a chameleon. He can do anything.
And he doesn't need a wig and an accent, I mean, to do the chameleon work. He just...
Wow. So. Am I 15 for 16 on Cage movies? Left Behind was the only one.
14 for 16 is what I have here. And the other one, Amos and Andrew.
Oh, that's right. You filed Amos and Andrew. That's right.
I phobed it. Yeah.
So, damn. So, 14 to 16?
Mm-hmm.
I might need to change that Left Behind because I think I'd watch it again.
Well, you tried to rapture it on the broadcast.
Oh, I did rapture it. Oh, no, that's 15 for 16.
A dishonest podcaster.
No. It makes me a showman.
Also, Amin is 2 for 16. So
on Cage movies,
that's insane.
That is your Achilles heel of cinephobe.
Which ones did he like?
Cage. Ooh.
Next. I like Next.
Gone in 60 Seconds? Did you like it?
No, I did not like Gone in 60 Seconds.
Snake Eyes? You like Snake Eyes, didn't you?
Snake Eyes and Next, I think, are the two.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm at my number two, right? So, certain themes that we named earlier. Bingos.
No, I mean phobe next, just for the record.
Did I? What was?
I'll try and figure it out. Keep going.
Okay. Or like I said, having a litany of bingos, definitely part of all the makings of cinephobe. Terrorism. We mentioned that earlier before. Having a terrorist threat. All the makings. Thank You for Your Service. Also, all the makings of a cinephobe movie. But perhaps nothing more exemplifies a cinephobe movie than one of us changing our pick or changing the order of our picks just to say fuck you to the other two.
Oh, a spite pick?
A spite pick.
Yeah.
Delta Force is my number two. Fuck both of you. Wasn't on my list to start the day. After the intro, after the cold open today, I slided it as I wanted to make it
number one. But how is that a
fuck
you
to us? I wanted so badly
to
make it number one, but I could not disrespect the number one on the list, so I made it number two.
Us doing the episode was a fuck you. You put it on your list. I could give a fuck. Like, that's not a fuck you.
You just fucked yourself.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I'm fine.
No, I didn't.
I'm fine. I like it.
I'm fine, too.
I filed it.
Okay.
I filed Delta
Force. But you don't like that movie.
I do.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I'm not changing it today. You guys know. You remember the episode. If you don't, Patreon.com/countthedings. Make sure you're subscribed so you can get all those special edition episodes that still haven't dropped.
You know,
well, speaking of Amin's spite pick fraudulence, his other Nick Cage movie that he filed is Jiu-Jitsu. So you can go ahead and take a big old fuck yourself.
I don't even remember. Was I the only one that filed that?
No, I'm the Pablo filed it. Zach filed it. I don't know what happened to that.
It was a
disaster.
It's so much fun.
Brax, wait a second.
What did I file it?
Yes, everyone filed it but me.
Well, why was that a spite on my part if everyone else filed it?
I was just saying I don't believe it.
Why would I
every fucking Nick Cage movie?
But why would that be the one? Why is that the one? Why is that the one where all of a sudden I'm spiting someone? I enjoyed the movie.
Pablo showed up. You're like, Pablo liked it. Fuck it. It's like Zach phobing Predator 2 because Roy didn't like it.
That was the most dishonest.
Roy came out right off the rip, was like, phobe. And it's like, what? No. Danny Glover's sweating through his wool suit. Let the man live. El Scorpio.
Damn, man. What a movie that was. Predator 2 was a great movie. Zach, you phobed it? Do you regret that one?
Phobing it? No. Yeah. No. It's not good. Like, the action sucks. I want action in that movie.
There was action. El Scorpio was ready.
That's in the first scene. That's one of those, like, it's in the same vein as like Hook for me, you know, in that I thought I loved this movie.
Maze and on like, I think I loved it.
And on rewatch, I'm like, fuck this movie, man. Like, it's not as good as I remember it.
All right. My number two. Now, this one, when I was putting the list together, I was stunned at both the simplicity and the efficiency of this, all the makings here. So what you're going to do is you're going to start with a heist. Okay, there's a heist. You got people taking money, you got people stealing shit. You got a plan. I love it when a plan comes together. You got the crew, all of that. You got a car chase. And there's only one place that this car chase can go in Cinephobe history, because the Cinephobe universe is only about 10 blocks wide, and that's across the downtown LA bridge. Oh. You give me a car chase, a heist, and a downtown LA bridge, that's Swordfish. That's Horrible Bosses 2. Yep. That's Takers. That's Money Talks. That's Taxi somehow. In New York.
Despite being set in New York.
Also, yeah. Harlem Nights somehow. They get it in there. And then you got Virtuosity. You got Street Kings. All Cinephobe classics. All going across the downtown LA bridge. We have almost universal appreciation of the downtown LA bridge. All over 70% files on it.
It's a great bridge.
I went to, this was months ago, but I was downtown and I was coming back and I needed to cross a bridge, and I started getting like really excited on my journey back, and then realized, no, I'm not on the downtown LA bridge. I'm on the other one. Oh. And then I looked to my, I think I looked to my left and I saw the real one. I'm like, fuck, man. I fucked
this up. Was it wearing a trench coat like, you know, Donatello and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Yeah,
it hid in plain sight, man. It just, you know, just sometimes you miss it.
Zach, what's your number one?
I think this is pretty obvious. Yeah. You give me a chimp, an ape, as a central figure in the cast, central figure in the story. That has all the makings, not just for a cinephile movie, for a classic episode and an ass-off.
See, I thought you would tack some other things onto it. I'm a little surprised.
I don't need other things attached to it. Like, I just need a chimp or an ape, as they said. I watched the trilogy for Planet of the Apes this weekend, and I think I text you guys at one point, like, I'm in chimp mode. I'm in full-on chimp mode right now. Like, I fucking love chimps. I love apes. Excitedly. Like, I just do. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like,
Zach's like Nick Cage in Ghost Rider, sitting in his trailer just watching fucking chimps go at it on TV.
Yeah. Like, it's something that I didn't realize within myself until we got into Cinephobe, where I'm just I look back on it, I'm like, I love all these movies, but I didn't realize I was such a chimpaholic.
Zach, if it weren't a chimp, if the central figure were a gorilla like Amy, does that count or does that lessen your...
It isn't as great, but I'm still into it. Like, that's chimps are chimps are going to always be top of the top for me when it comes to that.
Yeah, Zach texted us gorilla. About watching the first one.
I watched all three, baby.
And then he said, you can't just watch one of these. I'm doing the trilogy today.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's a gateway drug.
It was 6 hours of chips.
My favorite clip was when Caesar says no for the first time, and Zach marveling at the gorilla in the background.
Oh my God, the gorilla in the cage is like, what the fuck just happened? That gorilla. Oh my God.
It was. And by the way, like, if you haven't seen Dawn of the Apes, Caesar has been like injected with this, or his mom was injected with this medicine, so he's automatically a lot smarter. And later on, he steals more of the medicine and makes all the other apes smarter. But at this point, he hasn't done that yet. Right, I believe he hadn't done it yet. So the gorilla is a regular gorilla reacting. He hasn't gotten the super intelligence yet.
No, he hasn't gotten the mist of the virus.
That's a different movie.
Oh, The Mist, yeah.
Gorillas in the Mist.
Yeah. Also, the Mist, or is it The Fog? Actually, fog. I think there are two.
Gorillas in the Mist.
There is The Mist, and I think there is The Fog.
Gorillas in the Fog?
No. Just called The Fog. That movie just called The Fog.
That's the second Planet of the Apes movie when they go across the Golden Gate Bridge. Right. I mean,
all right.
I love chimps. All right.
My number one, Zach loves chimps. I love Carl Weathers.
Yep.
Carl Weathers, and then give me an eye candy or two, perhaps.
Carl Weathers?
Yes.
He qualifies.
Yes, he does. And then also banter and great tough guy talk. Mm-hmm. Action Jackson is... my submission, the perfect Cinephobe movie.
Ooh.
If I say Action Jackson, can you come up with, I'm not saying a better movie for Cinephobe.
Ed.
I like how he thought long and hard and said,
yeah, I kept come to mind are Ed or Lawnmower Man.
I kept trying to, so I feel like, does Kid Sable count as a mentor? Or is it Armbuster as the mentor? Because I don't think it quite fits into that.
I don't
one.
Think he's the mentor.
No, I don't think. I think Action Jackson needs no mentor.
He doesn't need it. He's not a rising star. He's just a star.
He's already a star. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I tried to like come up with a police, all the makings or a cop,
rising star.
All the makings,
the dude is a Harvard educated, decorated athlete who's.
Weapons?
Well, actually, okay. He's the other one where it's like he's in trouble already, right? Like they took his gun away.
Did they?
Yeah, yeah. That's why. That's what it starts. He's gotten in trouble. He beat the shit out of Coach's nephew or something like that, right? So it's like the guy who's fallen on hard times is a different architect.
You broke his arm. He's got another
he's
one.
Got he's got another spare. One. He's,
yeah.
Yo, man. That motherfucker is so ass off.
I would argue.
Have you seen, by the way, I know we've talked about this, but let me say it again. Have you seen the Super Bowl commercial or lead up Super Bowl commercial with Gronk and then like Carl Weathers shows up?
No.
The FanDuel commercial for, you know, Gronk is doing the kick for $1 million or whatever.
Oh, I know he's doing that, but no, I haven't seen a commercial for
there's
it.
There's a commercial where he's like walking through the desert and he's feeling bad about missing the kick last year. And then Carl Weathers pops up on a motorcycle and excited chittering does not begin to describe how my reaction, because he's so ass off in the commercial, which next to Gronk looks even more magnificently ass off.
Right. I would real quick, because you said name a better cinephile. I would say Lawnmower Man because bingo.
Yeah.
Weird sex stuff.
I don't know if weird sex stuff is necessary. I mean, seeing Sharon Stone's titties was enough for me.
Sure. I mean, that's fantastic. Like, I'm here for
it. I don't
it.
Need weird sex stuff at that point. I'm like,
there's technology that is clearly outdated, right?
That car?
Well, let me just cut you off right there.
It's supposed to be a cutting edge car.
Because that takes me to my number one, okay? Which is depictions of the future and futuristic technology that is wildly inaccurate.
I love that.
One of my favorite ingredients, the timeline fax machine. The car is in Time Cop.
Yeah.
The chubby scooters and the talking guns and everything in Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Literally everything about future sport. Literally everything about Escape from LA and Ghost of Mars.
Future sport had some things right.
Okay. All right. We'll come back to that later. All of the virtual reality and virtuosity and the Lawnmower Man, everything that guy was up to. And then, you know, Michael Crichton, when we get the part of Disclosure that I wasn't expecting at all, where we go into the VR file system, but it's literally a library and you have to walk around and find the file. It's not just there
in the computer
for you.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing shit. I can't get enough of it. I love how everybody's wrong all the time. I love how wrong they are. I could always use a piece of technology that doesn't make sense.
I had 20 CB tech as an option on my list. But it makes me long for a simpler time. In which I there are times where I'm like, we've got too much technology, and thinking about like all the VR stuff, like whether it's virtuosity, whether it's Lawnmower Man, anything. I just got a Meta Quest 3.
Really?
I didn't pay for it. They sent it to me.
Who sent it to you?
Meta.
World Peace?
Yeah. They sent it to me to like watch the All-Star game or something like that.
I didn't know he was non-binary.
Oh, he is. Trust me.
What's that? Supercharge.
Nah, it's already out of the bag. So I was like playing around with it, and I was like laughing so hard thinking about Lawnmower Man and virtuosity. Mm-hmm. Like laughing so hard while I was doing, like I was messing around with it. Oh my god!
I was really trying to pin down in the episode 2 weeks ago. I was really trying to pin down the part of Lawnmower Man that was plot liftoff, and I just couldn't quite do it. Because I think it's when he like starts ODing and he's like, I saw God. I touch God. But very, very, it could very easily be, you know, when he bangs Mrs. Burke for the first time or the whatever.
Touch God. Cutting room floor. Let me start it off here with a couple. So any, it's stupid. This shit is so stupid. Any movie with a lot of banter, catchphrases, and TGTs. That's Tango and Cash. Mm-hmm. That's Eraser. That's Reindeer Games. Let's see. That's Double Impact. Swordfish.
How did Reindeer Games get lodged in there?
Because it's got Coke and Pepsi. So
it's got all the makings.
Yeah. I'm surprised that wasn't number one on your list.
No. Action Jackson.
Cucking.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We love it.
We love cucking.
We sure do. We love to watch. We love to watch it happen.
We love to watch it. We love to watch the watcher.
Cuckception. I couldn't quite make this one work. A foreign director making their first American movie, a box office bomb, chaos, and CGI City. And that's pretty much Catwoman and Ballistic X versus Sever.
Wait, who's the Catwoman director?
Pitoff.
Oh, Pitoff. Pierre was in my head, but I knew that wasn't right.
He was my. I was on his. I've got another one for you guys. This one follows the line of having lazy filmmaking, just like all around lazy, right? Just attention to detail. Who gives a shit? So it's Tammy and the T-Rex. That's Gotti. That's remember Gotti, like Gotti, like having a Pitbull soundtrack for something that happened in the 80s.
Yeah, all of Zach's top five songs.
Just lazy filmmaking. They just could not be bothered to do this right.
I guess I expanded on it, and you mentioned a little bit, but to really boil down my terrorism pick, 9/11.
Yeah.
9/11 has all the makings of a cinephobe movie.
That's the original All the Makings.
Mm-hmm.
Maze, I remember you saying something along the lines of someone being wronged and having to right that wrong, like they've been framed for something.
Yeah, or just like a cop who is in trouble, a cop who's past his prime.
I would mix into that a healthy dose of revenge. Revenge being a big part of it. Low down, dirty shame.
Mm-hmm. I have revenge heist or revenge crime as an option. Kind of along those lines.
White man's burden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is super obvious. Jean-Claude Van Damme, The Splits, partial male nudity, and a roundhouse kick. So a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
I had Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bolo Young.
Oh, well, all the makings.
Yeah, together.
Yeah, together.
That's cheating.
That is all the makings of a cinephile movie.
You get that. You're getting a super file. Like, that's not even.
I thought that would be on a means list. So I was like, all right, I'm not gonna throw that down in the to make the cut.
This one's weird. It's very kind of nebulous, but I hope you guys will follow me down this path. Being a 0% movie that clearly deserved way more than 0%. I'm not saying didn't deserve to qualify for cinephobe. So Johnny B. Goode was that for me. I was like, Gotti. I didn't have other ones. Gotti, Ballistic X versus Sever, like some of these Problem Child. There's 0% movie. Like, that's not a 0% movie.
Left behind.
That's not a, is that, was that 0%?
It was 2% total.
Oh, no.
It was 2% total.
That's what I was thinking.
American Ninja. Yeah. Deadfall.
That was 0%?
Poison Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, I would say all those. None of those deserve to be zero.
They don't deserve
someone
to be
deserves, zero. Someone out there should have liked one of those movies.
Mm-hmm. Orndorff.
MVP conversation. Like, someone needs to say.
Fucking MVP is 40-40. You tell me one of these people can't break fucking American Ninja off?
Amazing.
Yeah. One good review? A 3 out of 5? Not even asking for a 5 out of 5.
For a movie that's over 30 years old. Like, nobody, no modern person has watched it and said, you know what? That's bullshit.
That's insane. Not saying the makings of a great cinephobe movie, but a makings of a cinephobe movie. Simply a Happy Madison production.
Oh, yeah. I thought about coming up.
We've got a lot of Happy Madison Productions.
Adam Sandler and an $80 million check. That's here. Adam Sandler and the
like
greatest.
Like I said, a Happy Madison production.
Yeah. Adam Sandler and the greatest hits of the 80s.
Yeah.
How about Ryan Reynolds bantering his ass off?
Ooh.
So Ryan yes.
Red Notice, Blade Trinity, Green R.I.P.D. Lantern, Waiting, RIPD. Well, not Million Ways because he just has a non-speaking role. But if you're Ryan Reynolds bantering your ass off in a movie, chances are you have all the makings.
Mm-hmm.
Any movie that Zach saw as a teenager or Amin went to with his brother.
Yep. Yep.
Does Zach have to have seen it with Bill Harper or just...
I didn't include that because he didn't go to...
I snuck into Barbed Wire.
Yeah, he didn't go to Barbed Wire with Pop. That was a solo mission twice.
It sure was. Sure was a solo mission.
Did you like reach over to the other guys next to you like...
I had a buffer around me. You got to have space. And you explore that space, but you got to have space.
Explore that. just start clawing away, pawing into the unknown. I hope I feel something.
Gratuitous.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be in there.
And it's cousin Gratuinips.
Mm-hmm. Gratuinips, always big. Well, they're not always big, but you know.
Well, they usually are if they're... If you're seeing Gratuinips, they're never small.
No, they're never. They're powerful.
Yeah,
I thought Zach would have to have some extra conditions to his number one. So I said a scientist, I said some human clothes, and I said a kidnapping because I'm pretty sure each one of them has been kidnapped. Ed got kidnapped.
MVP didn't Jack get kidnapped.
Got kidnaped.
He didn't get kidnapped.
Well,
he got sent off.
They tried to. Kidnap him.
Oh yeah, I guess they try. Yeah, attempted kidnapping. Yeah,
and then Roscoe. I guess he was kidnapped in the first place.
Yeah, I guess technically
it's adjacent. But yeah, I thought I would add a little more to it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that origin story of Roscoe.
And then I'm looking at this, and this is on there. Something so problematic that it only could have existed in the 20th century, bitch. And, you know, we've got a lot of movies on there. And then I put Tiptoes down, and I had to double check, and Tiptoes was 2003.
So I have to take that back. TOCB.
Still, TOCB was...
It's something so problematic that it could not exist in the 21st century, ma'am, I guess would be my answer for that.
20th century bitch is walking proudly, and TOCB is just one step behind off to the right side, because that's the right-hand man, woman... person
right hand arm man
yeah
our man, little bunny rabbit
of 20 CB
yeah
silly rabbit
silly it's, rabbit you're what
his what
that's it that's all I got
we kind of said this well I guess this is a variation but bingo kids
yeah
bingo kids is a big part of it D2 problem child all those bingo kids
major bingo
Once upon a time, Catholicism was all the makings of a cinema movie.
Yep, absolutely.
Not so much recently, but.
Mm-mm.
God, I want to watch Retribution again.
I might go do that right now.
Does it qualify?
It absolutely qualifies. Okay. I was so excited.
What is this? Not available. That's why you can't pick it yet.
Yeah,
you can't
I watched it on a plane, so it's a rental now.
Got you.
But
yeah,
whenever it comes,
even the poster,
dude. I'm telling you, you keep saying, "Oh, it's one of these Taken movies." It's very different from Taken. It's very different.
Now you're not selling me.
No, but I'm.
Whoa. What the? Sorry, I just found a very disturbing photo of Liam Neeson that I need to share with you guys. I don't know what's going on here. It's some
also, Zach,
here.
Remember I told you about the, it's in the Valley of Sinners and Saints or whatever? And we're like, when does this come out? It's the reviews are in and it does not qualify.
What is going on in this photo?
What is this?
What did this mustache do to his neck?
Oh, come on, man.
What did it do?
My man's getting older, man. I don't like this.
He looks incredible for an old man. Like 90% of the time.
He looks like Michael Douglas in Las Vegas.
No, be respectful.
Future cinema.
I agree. Be respectful. This, the movie poster for Retribution, I just sent to the chat, is ass off.
They touched up the light. His eyes.
Dude, that's
look like, at that. The look, you see the fire and flames and everything.
By the way, that is an actual scene. That's not just Photoshopping. That's a scene. But I'm telling you, like, we don't get to see Liam Neeson afraid in any of these movies. Mm-mm. At most, he's angry or irritated, but he always seems to be in control. In this movie, he plays afraid, man.
Mm.
And I'm telling you, you're like, wait, I don't want to see Liam Neeson be afraid. Trust me. Because we know what happens when he gets afraid? He gets angry.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back.
And you know what happens when he gets angry? He starts ambling.
It's all the makings
special
of a classic
set of skills. Oh, this one's good. Episode. Sure.
I feel like ambling should have made it.
Well, I picked
into
Liam Neeson.
Liam
Neeson, quick cuts, hand to hand, ambling.
Special set of skills.
Make sure you send us your CT5 list for all the makings. You can do that on Twitter at TalkHoops, at Darth Amin, at CornPuzzle, at CinephilePod, at Count the Dings, or in the Discord by being a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/CountTheDings.
Next time we make love, you introduce me to Jade.